Beautiful, beautiful chorus. I need you more than life itself. For without Christ, there is no life. All the life that we have is in him. Father God, we just praise you tonight as we come before you to worship you. Father, we thank you for that awesome time as we entered into your presence, that your spirit would have stirred our hearts to receive the word from you. So we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious and mighty name. Amen. I was very encouraged this morning, as always, to hear a word that is called to the church. And Josie came and brought that word about creation and about how we're seeing the rain come and the seedlings and the trees just drinking it up. And that really encouraged me, because we can learn so much from creation. All creation is groaning and crying out for the return of Christ, and our hearts need to be crying out for that return as well. And just as the soil and the trees are thirsty for water, we need to be thirsty for the Holy Spirit. But sometimes, you know, we look around at the trials and the things of life and we think it's just too hard, or we think I'm too small. Have you ever felt too small? I do. Sometimes God places things before us and we think, I just feel too small, or we feel I can't do it on my own. And then the Lord comes in and he says, but you're not on your own. I've provided everything for you. I've given you my spirit. But apart from that, God has given us one another, and we need to be together. God has an amazing creation, and it preaches a continual sermon to us. I don't know about you, but I walk around with my eyes open to the things of God. So many people walk with their heads cast down, bowed down with all the trials of this world, and in such a hurry. But as I've said many times before, sometimes I'll be driving and you just see the sun come through a cloud, and it's a God incidence, and I'll pull over to the side of the road. And it's not that you're worshipping creation, but it's just an encounter you have that the Lord God is showing you something of his beauty and his glory and how he can break through any situation. And even just to come out of a morning, you know, we hear the story about not being too busy to smell the roses. We need to really, some people are ardent gardeners and they love their gardens, but many other people just dash in and out to their car and they don't look around at the beauty around them. And you know, it's just beautiful to come out some mornings when the dew has fallen. And as you're walking, you just get a glimmer and a sparkle. And it's like the dew on the roses or on the petals. It's like a glistening jewel. It's just beautiful how God provides all that for us. And so we see God shows his power and his majesty in everything. And you know, he wants to show his power and his majesty through you and I too. But sometimes we hinder that, as I said, because we feel too small. We see in the Word of God that God spoke about trees. He speaks about water, but he also spoke through animals and insects. He used the ox and the ass. He spoke through the rooster. He used a donkey to speak to Balaam. And in Proverbs, God mentions several special little creatures, and they're called ants. And, you know, I was thinking about ants. I've often sat, and I've said to you before, and watched ants. If you sit and you watch them, it's just awesome to see what they're doing. And this message stirred with all this moisture and stuff. I don't know about you, but the ants are suddenly coming into the houses. And I went out one morning a couple of weeks ago, and they were just a real thick trail of them. And I didn't know where they'd come from, and they're up the wall and over onto the benches, and there was nothing left there to draw them. And John said, it's the rain. When the rain comes, they come looking and come to higher ground, and here they were. And so I started to think about this message. And then later on, Karen Walsh sent me a PowerPoint, and I thought, oh, Lord, that's a view. So here we go. So Matthew, if you show the first PowerPoint, please, and we'll just see a little bit about these incredible creatures or insects. And it's very true. We disturb their environment and cause them to come up and to get out of places. I know when we're in Western Australia, because it was a new community in the middle of the desert, It's like it was amazing the things that would come up out of the ground when they'd start to dig. And John used to say, don't worry, they were here before us. And so they were holding on to their, or trying to hold on to their environment, and we were the people moving in. So when we think about the ant, I'd like to just mention a few things about them. We can learn a lot from ants, as we can learn a lot from a lot of God's creation. There are over 11,000 different kinds of ants, and they live in colonies numbering from a few to over 20 million. And there are approximately 1 quadrillion ants in the world today. And I can't even get my head around that, but I checked it up, and it's a 10 followed by 15 zeros. So all the mathematicians would know. Is that right? Well, that's what it said on the internet. It's a 10 followed by 15 zeros. So that's a lot of little critters, isn't it? Ants are so numerous that scientists say that if all the ants in the Amazon rainforest were weighed, they would weigh 4 times more than all the others. Mammals, birds, reptiles, and other creatures living combined. So that's a lot of ants, isn't it? With these thoughts in mind, we need to think of some amazing facts. And as we just saw in one of those pictures, there was a trail of ants, and it was very thick. It was a green grass, but there were so many of them. When you think of them individually, they're so tiny. But there were so many of them, they made a black trail. And when they all get together, we can all see them. But the thing is with the ant, they set out on a task. They know what they're created for. They know what they're here for. And they have one purpose in mind, and that's to fulfill what they are created for. And you see, we need to know that. We need to know within our hearts what God has created us for, who we were created to be, and to fulfill that purpose. The thing about ants is they work in unity. There's no fights. They don't step all over. They might climb over one another to get where they're going, but it's a unified move. They do not have anger. Different types of ants will fight for their territory, but when an ant is building a colony, there is complete unity between them. And Pastor John spoke this morning in communion, beautiful time around communion, about us loving one another and loving one another unconditionally. And that doesn't mean that we can't disagree on something, but there must be love. There must be that unity of the spirit there, otherwise we defile the purpose that we're here for. Ants are very helpful, and they carry burdens. They carry their injured friends. If one ant is hurt, the other will carry it. They rescue them, and they bury them in a pit. They don't waste anything, even their dead. They operate in harmony. One might be weak, and the others will come along to strengthen them. And the Word of God tells us that we're to bear one another's burdens. We're to weep when one weeps and rejoice when one rejoices. And you see, that isn't, the Word of God's telling us it's not a physical thing that we see. It's a spiritual thing that the Spirit stirs our heart. Because sometimes we can be very good, can't we, at hiding how we're feeling. But the Spirit of God will bring a sensitivity, and we just know to go to that person. I know people have come to me, and it's just been awesome because I know where they've rung me, and I know it's God's laid that on their heart. They operate in harmony, total harmony. And God tells us about the body, about us, that we are to have the power of unity. Now, there is an ant that's called a driver ant, and they are slightly larger than the others. But when the driver ant is on the move, elephants, lions, poisonous snakes all flee. Entire villages of people will move out of the way. And I couldn't download it, but I saw on YouTube a swarm of diver ants, and it was just awesome. They just start off gathering and just watching them. There's just a few, and quickly they sense, and they all gather and gather, and they're like, a kilometre wide, and they just march in complete, and there's nothing stopping. They don't stop. They're just going, because everything that's in front of them moves out of their way, and villages, people move because they come. And then there was a dead duckling on the ground, and they just swarmed it, and within seconds they just devoured the whole thing. So they really move, they get out on the move. And you see, they have a power. And the early church showed us that power, a power that they knew their purpose, they had unity, and they took the things that were ahead of them. And you see, if we walked in that same unity, if we walked in that same love, there should be nothing that can stop us. It says in Ephesians 4:3, and we need to take seriously the word of God. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And so to each of us, we have grace. It's been given to us as Christ apportioned it. That is why we say, when he ascended on high, he led captive in his train and gave his gifts to men. So God has given us everything through Jesus and the Holy Spirit that we might take all that is before us, that we might be this great army, this powerful army. The ants work towards a common goal. They provide the colony and especially the queen with all that she needs. And they are productive. They are very productive. Ants have an all-volunteer service. And there's no guide. They just know exactly what they're to do. Thousands of ants may dwell in one ant colony, but every one of them pulls their own weight and they work. There's no lazy ants. They labour according to their ability. And the thing that got me is when we look at it and we saw in that picture, they all are born to know what their task is. They have the storekeepers or the keepers of the food. They have engineers, nurses, farmers, labourers. Whatever the task is, they know what it is. And you see, as we grow in Christ, the Spirit of God gives us an understanding of what our gifts are. And if you don't know what your gifts are and what you're called for, you need to speak to somebody. We are all called to minister, but we've been given various areas. God has laid upon each one of us various areas, and there are many people in this church and in other churches that are sitting and not using what God has given them. And so therefore, there is a gap in the army. We need that gap filled. We need everybody standing, raised up into the task that God has given them. We need each one of each other. You know, if you're walking along somewhere and it may be an unknown place, and someone's alongside of you, you have that sense of them there. And if they walk away or someone breaks rank, you're aware that there's a gap. You feel that emptiness, don't you? And so we need to be standing alongside one another. One of the more interesting of the ants is the honeypot ant. He eats himself full of nectar and then feeds the rest of the nest. So he's a blessing to all. And isn't that something to us that we need to be filled with the Spirit of God, that we are feeding one another? Not just as we stand here and Pastor Chris stands here and teaches and preaches and whatever we do at home groups or whatever, we need to be daily feeding and encouraging one another. But unless we're filling in, we've got nothing to give out. It's like a river. It flows into us, fills us, and then flows out again. God uses us according to the ability that he's given us. God will never ask you to do something that is too hard or too big. And you see, as I open with my statement about sometimes we feel too small, it's because we look at our own abilities and we don't trust the ability of God or the Spirit of God that's within us. These little fellas may not be able to build a cathedral, but they can build anthills and they can build huge ones. When we went for a trip through the centre of Australia, I was amazed at the size of some of these huge anthills. So some of them build up high, some of them build, they furrow and build ant nests down under the ground. But in central Australia, they build up very, very high. And it's amazing how hard they are. They're really, really solid and hard and not easy to break. So they know what they're called to do. And it says in Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work, no device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave wherever you go. God has given us the ability to do whatever we need to do. And ants work continually. And you know, sometimes we see in the world today there is so much need, and there are different people that set out to help people, but they knock off at 5 o'clock. But as Christians, we don't knock off. The Spirit of God is moving in us all the time, 24/7. It doesn't matter where we are, what we do. If you know what your gift is and you know the Spirit of God's moving in you, well, he doesn't knock off. And we need to be available in our homes to one another, wherever we work, as we go down the street, wherever. We need to be available to people. We need to have the application of the Spirit of God moving. The ants are persistent. They are persistent. They don't stop. And it says in Philippians, I believe this scripture fits in here. It's Philippians 3:13. I'll just get it for you. Here we go. I'll start at verse 12. Nor that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of for me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. So I believe that that's the persistence of the ant, that they know they have a goal and they press on to attain what they've been given. It's impossible for them to stop once they get a scent of food. And if you doubt that, just drop a couple of little grains of sugar on your bench and leave it there. And you'll suddenly see one or two ants come, and then the next minute he's got his whole colony there with him. They have this inbuilt sensor that they seem to set out signals to one another. And you see, we have the power of the Spirit to be able to do that, to be able to say, hey, this is where the food is. This is where you can receive from God. And the other thing about them is it's amazing. If they come to water, they all gather together and they form a ball about the size of a human head so that they can float, so that they can go across the water, so they reach their objective. And you see, there should be nothing that stops us moving out over difficult things to reach this world. There's a world out there that needs Christ, and we need to be persistent. We need to be good labourers. We need to be working towards the purpose that God has called us to. We need this same resolve. Everything that we do has a purpose, and that's to glorify God. But our purpose is to bring people into the kingdom. Sometimes we forget that. We think our purpose is just to come and praise God, and that's wonderful because our whole life is to be a life of worship in whatever we're doing. It's worshipful. But we are to be winning people to Christ. And if we had the same resolve, if we had the same connection, that one goal, that one thing, they know that the reason they're born is to achieve that goal. And the reason that we've been born of Christ is to achieve that goal, is to go out and make disciples, not only win people to Christ, but to make them disciples. We just don't bring them in and leave them. We bring them in and feed them and grow them and nurture and nourish them. As I said before, these ants are farmers. They do amazing things. In some instances, the ants construct shelters out of soil or cartons to shield the aphids, which are the newborns, from the environment. Worker ants stroke the aphids with their antenna to induce them to release drops of honeydew. The ants then transfer this honeydew to another group of workers who carry it back to the next, and they share it with the others. Individual workers may spend days or weeks among the same group. Some clear ground so that certain kind of grasses can grow, which is farming. Some gather grain and bite the end of the kernels to prevent it from germinating so that it will remain food. Nothing can change their priorities. They know exactly what to do. Who taught them to do that? And you see, sometimes we think we don't know. If we were somewhere and there was not another person and we found Christ, or we had Christ, the Spirit of God would speak to us. He doesn't need human lips. He doesn't need human hands. He can speak to us. But then once he does, he wants us to gather with others to fulfill his will. And the greatest place that we can fulfill that is in our home. And we heard this morning, if we have unsafe family, we need to be praying for them, but also we need to be speaking to them. We need to be doing whatever is necessary. And sometimes those things can be seeming unpleasant. We have to go into places with them. But you see, we don't have to be afraid because we have the Spirit of God. We don't have to be afraid where we go, what we do. We can go to our families and they may have alcohol or whatever else. We don't have to insulate ourselves. We can go there and stand and not only be there with a driven thing that we want to say to them, but we need to love them. Love them and show them that we love them. We had opportunity last night to attend a family gathering, and it was just wonderful to be able to catch up with people and to express that love, to really love them. And it really touches people's hearts because they expect you to be judgmental or they think, oh, we're embarrassed. But whatever they do, that's their life. We had to show Christ, and Jesus Christ came into the world amongst worse than that, so that he could win us. And remember where we were when he found us. We may not have been drinking and all those things, but we were hideous inside. We were full of sin. We were full of animosity to God. We were ignorant people. And Jesus Christ took us and brought us to himself. We need to have this same resolve in our praying. We need to be dedicated in prayer. We need to be spending time. And prayer times here in the church are awesome times. But in our homes, when you wake up in the morning, is your first thought, oh Lord Jesus, thank you for being with me through the night. Thank you that you're here to greet me. You've given me another day, Lord, to live for you. And the blessing is that as we live for God, we are so enriched. Our lives are so full. There is nothing but nothing. Even though things may come and disappointments come, the Lord is there to lift us up and to give us his peace. We need to have a resolve, as we heard this morning, in our giving. The ants have a storehouse. We do too. And you see, they live to put into that storehouse because they know they need to store up. Are we storing up? Are we storing up in our own lives? God has given us hands. He's given us wisdom. He's given us ability to work, to feed our family. But you young people need to remember that resolve. Money is earned not just to squander on yourself. You need to be storing up for your futures. When you finish school and you start work, you need to store up. Obviously, you want to buy a car, I understand that. You want to buy a car first, and that's great. But once you've got that car, you need to be putting away, and there's always enough to go out with your friends and do your things. But you see, you need to be tithing. Even little kids need to tithe. We need to be storing away and remembering God's storehouse. God has given us so much we can never outgive him. So our first thought, and you see, as I've said before, we don't get our money and think, oh, now all that. That's put first. And it should be a joy to put that first. It's there. It's set aside. It's a security to know that we've done that. And then you see, we can stand unashamed and praise God and ask him to bless us. Not just us, I'm talking collectively, to really praise him. We can't be cheating God and hiding things and then standing asking God to bless us, because what God will do is put his finger on the problem and he won't change anything till you fix it. So it's so powerful. We need to have a resolve in our separation. Ants practice personal and community cleanliness. Now, when I'm saying that, as I said, we went last night to this family and we can do that. But we were separate. We were separate in our hearts. We didn't enter in. We entered in to love them, to share with them, but we didn't enter into what they were doing. We are to be a separate people. But you see, if that is led by his Spirit, then it is not a judgmental thing. People came up to me last night, and one lady, it was like she was so pleased to see me. And she just poured her heart out to me. You see, we need to expect people will do that wherever we go. That's the Spirit of God. Even non-Christians see that about us. And so they want to. They feel. She said, I feel so comfortable talking to you. Now, how? She knows nothing about me. I've only met her once. So that is God. But we need to be available. It's no good saying, oh, you know, she's got a beery breath. I don't want to talk to her. Because this love of Christ comes over us for these people. And I just hugged her and hugged her. And she just fell into tears. So we see that we are to be a separate people. And then we need to have a resolve in our witnessing. And we know that our witnessing is not Bible bashing. It's living Christ in our lives. And as we feed on his word becomes a natural thing out of us, that we speak his word in a natural way without line and scripture. Our whole life needs to be yielded to Christ so that everything we say and do is the word of God. It just comes naturally out of us. And so we see that these little ants make provision for life. They organise themselves for shelter. They build anthills. They don't keep things they don't need. And that's another lesson for us. We keep a lot of things we don't need. John and I have just been talking recently, not that we're great hoarders, but about thinning things out again. In fact, you know, I said to him the other day, I'm a sentimentalist when it comes to cards, and I said to him, if the Lord called me to glory, my poor kids, I'd have to come and go through all these cards. So it's about thinning them out and getting rid of things and not keeping things we don't need. There are some things that it might be sentimental, but we can hoard things that are unimportant to us and they just take time to clean them. So the ants don't keep things they don't need. They only keep what is useful. They only keep what is useful. We need to be ready to stand before God. Time is running out. Jesus said that we need to work while there's yet day. We need to be prosperous. We need to be focused. In John 9:4 it says, if you're going to do anything for Jesus, the time to do it is now. If you're going to pray, preach, witness, shout, visit, make things right with another brother, anything at all, the time to do it is now. We cannot afford not to do these things. We cannot afford to have things between us and another. We need to do it now. There is a great spiritual poverty to those who are in spiritual slumber. We need to come alongside people and tell them to wake up and listen to what Paul told the Romans. In Romans 13:11-14. I'll just finish with this scripture. Have you got it, Joshua? Okay. Romans 13:11-14.
And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature.
Thank you. Very good. So we are to be a changed people. We are to put away those things. We are not to enter in. You see, the Lord Jesus loves us and he says he wants us to have his mind, to be clothed in his righteousness, to be holy, God says, as he is holy. Not to be trying to work at it, but to make a choice, to allow his spirit to come into us so that we say no to sin, that we don't keep entering in and then having to cry out for forgiveness, while God is always ready to cleanse us and to forgive us. God, our maturity is that we grow away from those things, that we grow away from those things and we become more like Christ Jesus himself. I'm going to show you another PowerPoint now, and this is just awesome. I only hope it comes up very clear. Need to have the music on, or the sound.
find out what one of these subterranean cities looked like. The amount of cement required is extraordinary. For 3 days they kept pouring, until 10 tons of cement had disappeared down the tubes. After a month, they begin the excavation, led by Professor Louise Forci. It takes weeks to uncover the secret megalopolis of the ants. With the help of mechanical diggers, the scientists remove tons of earth. At last, they begin to see the structure of the city-state. There are subterranean highways connecting the main chambers, and off the main routes are side roads. The paths branch and lead to many fungus gardens and rubbish pits. The tunnels are designed to ensure good ventilation and provide the shortest transport routes. Everything looks like it has been designed by an architect, a single mind. But of course that isn't true. This colossal and complex city was created by the collective will of the ant colony, the super-organism. The structure covers 50 square meters and goes 8 meters into the earth. In its construction, the colony moved 40 tons of soil. Billions of ant loads of soil were brought to the surface. Each load weighed 4 times as much as the worker, and in human terms, was carried 1 kilometer to the surface. It is the equivalent of building the Great Wall of China. It is truly a wonder of the world.
No about you, but that's amazing. We don't know what's under our feet. These little ants that we tread on are very industrious people, creatures, and just look what they've built. And we say, I can't. I'm too tired. I'm too poor. I'm too old. I'm too young. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can, I can, I can. Because the Lord Jesus, by His Spirit, is strengthening us every day. We can have as much or as little as we choose. I want all, to carry out the task that God has given. If the ants can build that, just imagine. If we would really put in, if every Christian joined together in unity, in this one accord of the Holy Spirit, what is the world? What is the world to take? It is nothing. Jesus Christ has already gained the victory. He's already given us the call and the mandate. We need to move. There is so much to be done. And we need to ask ourselves, have I made preparation in my life for the future? Not just for my future, but the future of my family, or the future of my generations. Am I really ready at this moment to meet the Lord Jesus Christ if He calls me? Because that's where we need to be. Not tomorrow, not next month. But if the Lord were to call us home now, are we ready? Have I gathered all the provisions that I need to walk for God today? Am I equipped in His Spirit? Do I have on the armour? Am I filled to overflowing the Spirit? Not just enough to keep me going, but enough to give and to give and to give and to give. Am I praying? Am I reading the Word of God? Am I spending time with God? Am I in fellowship with the rest of the members of his body? And you see, that's not just in Westvale, that's the whole body. And not only the body, are we in fellowship? Sorry. Habit, grow church. Oh, well, I'm not stoned, that's good. And are we in fellowship with family? We cannot afford to be out of fellowship with our family because we are the one that God has called to stand and bring them to Christ. If you don't tell them, who will? If you don't love them, who will? We can't afford to have broken relationships. It's not about what the other person does. It's about where I stand. And we need to ask the Spirit of God to search our heart. Sure, it's difficult at times. It can be very difficult to keep going back and back and back. But that's what Jesus did. And he does for us. How many times could he tire of forgiving me? And say, oh, Pat, here you are again. But he doesn't. He opens his arms and he takes me in because he cares. With loving kindness, he draws us to him. Am I doing the job that Jesus has given me to do? And unless you know the power of the Spirit within your life, you don't know what that job is. And you see, there's no room in our heart for bitterness. There's no room in our heart for animosity. We have a task to do. And if we want to build something greater than that picture of what the answer's done, because that's what God's called us to do, we'd better get ready, folks. We'd better be right now, because the day is short. Am I labouring for Jesus, knowing that the darkness is swiftly approaching? You know, even Christians are just lavishing the time and laughing and thinking, oh, there's plenty, and relishing in this wonderful joy that we've been given in this life. But we've been given this life for a purpose, to use it wisely, to use it wisely, to drink every drop and make it all useful. So the next time you see an ant, just think about what it does. Just think a little bit and think, how can our life be too difficult? Because God never gives us more than we can do. But he says, be strong in the Lord and not in the power of your own might, not in the wisdom of your own mind, not in your own pride, but in his strength, the power of his Spirit, and let him work through you to achieve. Because God is building a mighty army. Sometimes I look at the church universal, and I think, Lord, we can be a sickly, scrawny bunch, but you loved us enough to die for us. Raise us up and make us strong. Make us like those driver ants that are in such total unity that we will march and forge and take everything before us. Pastor Chris brought a word this morning about the army, and not just marching along, but raising our battle cry and raising our banner and taking all that's before us. If the little ant can do what it does, how much more can we do? We have the Spirit of God. Father God, we thank you tonight for your grace and your love. We thank you for your word, Father, and we thank you for the examples that you give us, Lord, all around us. Father, I pray that we would never become complacent. And we're not here to worship the ant. We are here to worship you who created the ant, this tiny, tiny little insect that can just be trodden on. We can kill a dozen of them with one blow, and yet they grow and they push in to accomplish. And how much more we can do, for we have the life of you within us. We have your power by your Spirit. So Father, I pray that we might stand strong, and that, Lord, your Spirit might speak to each one of us tonight. If we have things in our life, if we're not using our money wisely, if we're not using our time wisely, if we don't know, Lord, what our gifts are, if we have broken relationships, Lord, with anybody, Father, I pray that your Spirit might stir our hearts to be obedient to you in each of those things, that we might store up, that we might go out, that we might be a mighty army and take all for you and see this community saved in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.